This is Digital Story Podcast number 852, July 19th, 2022. Today's theme is, finally, your entire digital catalog in one place with Peak 2. I'm Derek Story. Photography cataloging software has evolved a lot over the years. And as we move from one software package to another, we often have to leave our older images behind. No more. Thanks to a breakthrough app called Peak 2, you can browse pictures from Aperture to Capture One, from Lightroom to Photos, all in one app, plus leverage the power of AI to search and sort. It's nothing short of amazing, and you'll learn all about it on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. Well, as you hear the whirling of hard drives in the background here, that's right, I've got a Drobo spinning, I've got another HDD going, I've got a couple SSDs plugged in. I mean, it is hard drive central here right now. And why is that? Because I am pulling all of my digital images together, images that go as far back as digital photography itself for me, into one easy-to-use interface. Now, this may sound too good to be true, and especially for a V1.0 version, but I have to tell you that Peak 2, P-E-A-K-T-O, is the real deal. It is the real deal. I have been testing it. I've been putting it through its paces, and I am so impressed. And it is so much fun to be able to look into my Aperture libraries from decades ago, to be able to look into my original Capture One Pro libraries, to be able to look into photos, Lightroom catalogs that I created for specialty projects, all that stuff brought together in one interface, one easy-to-use interface, and an interface that really doesn't take up that much space on your native hard drive, on your computer hard drive. So let me just tell you a little bit about how this works. I have some tips for you. I have all sorts of good stuff, but I have to tell you, there are many of you, and I know this, there are many of you that have been waiting for something like this, and I'm pretty darn sure that that day has come. All right, so here we go. I'm just going to start out with what Peak 2 can see, because what it is a interface. It's an interface that you can browse pictures. It goes way beyond browsing, but from catalogs that exist, that you have, even if you don't have the native app on the computer, you can still look into those catalogs. Now, these are the same folks that created Avalanche. And Avalanche really was a breakthrough application that allowed people to move their Aperture libraries with, you know, much of the work that they did in the Aperture libraries to other applications. Same folks. So they figured out a lot of stuff when they were working on Avalanche. And of course, Avalanche has grown now and it has all sorts of versatility, but they figured out a ton of stuff working on Avalanche that they've now brought together in Peak 2 and then taken it even farther. All right, so let's start out with what kind of libraries, what kind of catalogs is Peak 2 compatible with? All right, let's just start there. I'm going to read you a list. Aperture catalogs from version 3.6. Now, it's reading my 3.5s and 3.4s too, but certainly later Aperture catalogs, okay? Lightroom Classic catalogs from version 5, Luminar catalogs from version 4.2, Luminar AI catalogs from version 1, Capture One catalogs from version 20, Apple Photos catalogs from version 6, the Big Sur version, and iView Media Pro catalogs from version 3. You can have these catalogs existing on all sorts of different hard drives and so forth. Plug them in, open Peak 2, and then have Peak 2 read those catalogs. And there's a whole process. I'll go into more detail in a minute, but it'll read those catalogs. And then they're available to you in the application itself. So you can go from a 2012 Aperture catalog to a 2020 Capture One Pro catalog, all in the same interface. Just hop around like they're different projects, right? You look at this project and you look at that project. That's what it's compatible with. Now, it requires Mac OS 11. This is only for the Mac. That's Big Sur. And it runs well on the M1 chips. I have it running on an Intel Mac that's a couple years old. And I'm running Monterey right now on this particular app. And everything is working just fine. A working copy of the supported apps, such as Aperture, Lightroom, Capture One, is not required when using Peek2. Peek2 opens those libraries natively. This is so big because, especially those of you that have Aperture libraries, well, Aperture won't run on the computers that we're using right now, right? It won't run anymore. So we've been faced with all sorts of dilemmas. Do we try to migrate them somewhere? You know, what do we do with those Aperture catalogs? Now you use Peek2 because Peek2 can read them. You don't have to have Aperture running on the app. You can find the images that you want. And then if you want, you can export them out of the Aperture catalog and use them, you know, for whatever you want to use. I mean, this is craziness. This is absolute craziness. So Peek2 gathers a ton of existing data from your catalogs. It gathers XF data, IPTC, keywords, ratings, geotags, and even faces. And the faces is what blew me away in my Aperture catalogs, because I did use faces in Aperture. And then to look at an old Aperture catalog in Peek2, and then in there's a second column that shows you, get this, it shows you the same structure, the same catalog structure that you built in Aperture, you know, the folders and albums and so forth. It shows you that in Peek2. So if you created a bunch of folders and albums in that Aperture catalog, you have access to those and they are organized that way in Peek2. And then at the bottom of that second column, you can pull up keywords and you can pull up other things such as faces, if faces were used, and use those features as well. It's wild. It's so wild. You do get all the XF, you do get all the IPTC, all that sort of stuff. The keywords look great. You know, all that is available to you as part of the process where Peek2 integrates those catalogs into its application. So let's talk a little bit about working with this app. It can pull from a variety of hard drives, and it keeps track of where everything is. So you don't have to move everything onto one hard drive or anything like that. You can have, like I right now have I have four hard drives that basically have most of my digital assets on them, and they're all sitting right here. And I can just have those all plugged in at one time, and it's no problem at all. And I have, by the way, one of those drives is a Drobo, and I have a regular HDD, and I have SSD. So I have a variety of drives. They all seem to work equally well. However, the SSD drives are much faster, as one would expect. If you make a change, let's say that you're using Capture One as well. So let's say that you're using Capture One in Peek2. You're looking at a variety of Capture One libraries. By the way, for those of us that like the managed library approach in Capture One, and I create one for each year, now I can look across all those years. All those years. I don't have to guess where a photo is. I can look at all my catalogs from Capture One Pro. But let's say, so I'm working in one of those. I pull up a picture and I go, oh, I want to fine-tune that shot. I can launch Capture One Pro from within Peek2. It'll pull it up, right? I can make changes to the image, and then Peek2 will update its image in its catalog as well, or in its interface. And even if you do that behind its back, let's just say that you open the app on the side you make some changes, and then peak two's closed. Let's say peak two's closed. When it opens back up, when that hard drive is running, it'll say, ah, I see a change, and then it will update itself. So not only do you get to have the stuff, you know, from the past, but the stuff that you're working on right now gets updated if you update it yourself. So it allows you to have a real working environment with all of your images. Now, if you have an older Capture One catalog, and which happens when we're archiving, if you go to bring that into Peak 2, what it'll do is it'll say, hey, you need to update that catalog before you can bring it in. So then what you have to do in this case is open Capture One Pro, the later version, open that catalog. Capture One will automatically update it. Then you can close it, right? And then it will be imported, or then it'll allow to be imported into Peak 2. So, you know, and that's the process I'm going through right now. I've brought in what I can. Some of those older catalogs, I'm having to update them so I can bring them into Peak 2. It's really not hard. It doesn't take much time. And, you know, you're updating those catalogs. there's always that as well. By the way, other things that get stored in the app or that the app can show you are star ratings and labels too. So if you used some of these tools, flags, to help organize your images, those star ratings carry into this interface. All of that wasn't good enough. Then on top of the way that we used to search for things and organize things, Peak 2 brings in a whole new level of artificial intelligence to help us, you know, find stuff. So, so for instance, it starts reading, you know, some of the subject material in your shots. And so you want to look for shots that have dominant blue in them. You can do that. Or if you want to look for a particular subject, the AI in Peak 2 will help you do that. So you can go beyond your normal search. And I think the real point I want to make here is that this is not just bringing thousands of images into an interface and then having to browse through them to find what you want. You can browse through them. Yeah, you can. And you can double click on them and get a bigger version, all that. But it has not only the tools that you use to organize them with in the applications that they were originated in, but you have additional tools so that you can combine all of these new tools. So you can search for blue 3 stars or more, something like that. Maybe flagged blue, you know what I mean? So you can do these compound searches that are a combination of how we used to search and then also use the AI tools as well. So let's talk about the impact on your computer and the performance of this application. So Peak 2 stores everything in the application support folder on your Mac. So mine, I just took a peek at mine. Currently, the app, that folder, is occupying 10.14 gigabytes of space for 226,329 items. So 10 gigabytes for roughly 226,000 images. Now, by the time I'm done with this first pass on this project, I'll be probably around 500,000 images or so. So I'm guessing that I'm going to need a little over 20 gigabytes on my computer hard drive to accommodate Peak 2's application support folder that has all its goodies in there. I feel like that is a very reasonable space price to pay for all this access that I have. And yeah, the masters still stay where they are. You're not bringing masters into this application. In fact, Peak 2 doesn't change anything on any of your hard drives at all. It doesn't change the image. It doesn't modify the image. What it does is it reads those master files, whether they're JPEGs or RAWs. It reads them, pulls that data in, and then creates its own modified JPEG that it uses and displays. So your stuff still remains untouched. It's not being messed with at all. Peak 2 doesn't need to do that. It's just reading it. It's a read-only situation. Now, it does take time to register those catalogs. So, for example, if I have an hard drive, a regular traditional hard drive plugged into the computer, let's say via USB, let's say it's an older hard drive, then it's going to take longer to read those catalogs than if I have an SSD plugged into the computer via USB-C, all right? What I did last night was I just stacked up a bunch of catalogs to bring in because Peak 2 will remember what I want to do. So I said, okay, I'm bringing in this one, I'm bringing in that one, I'm bringing in this one. Just stacked them all up, and then I went to bed. And then the next morning, everything was ready to go. It will do a lot of its work in the background. So on its first pass, what it's doing is just, you know, bringing in, you know, the images so you can actually see them. But it does a lot of other things. You know, it's reading a lot of information. It's reading all the faces information. It's reading all the metadata. You know, it's doing a bunch of stuff. It's generating previews. So it can do that in the background. So you can still see stuff while it's working, all right? And then it'll do the rest in the background. And it does have an activity monitor so you can see what's going on. But in my case, I just set up a job before I go to bed. I go to bed, and then next morning, there I go. I've got a whole bunch of new stuff available to me. Depending on the connectivity and the size of the catalog, that'll determine how long it takes to do that. Now, one of the questions that I had for them, because I'm using this application and I'm just having a great time, but as I mentioned earlier, I don't have Aperture on this computer. It won't run on this computer. What happens when I find an image in my Aperture library that I want to use for a blog post or that I want to make a greeting card with or something like that? Well, Aperture generates high-resolution previews, and Peak 2 can grab those for you, the original ones that Aperture created, and you can export those out onto your desktop or anywhere you want. So I just want to kind of give you a feel for how you do this because it allows me to talk about albums as well in Peak 2. In Peak 2, you can have the application watch catalogs. You can create watch folders. You can do all that sort of stuff. But you can also create albums, name them anything you want, and then you can pull stuff from all your different catalogs and put them in an album. They're a really nice feature, right? I mean, this is terrific. So I could have stuff in there from Capture One, from Lightroom, from Photos, all that in one album. Peak 2 can manage it. I click on that album. I see those images. That's fabulous. However, I can also create an album where I want to put images in it, and then you export. There's an export function for that album. So you just right-click on it, and you say, export this album. So you do that. You tell it where to go. You get to set some parameters, right? It's a pretty nice export dialog box. So I can take stuff out of my Aperture library that I only have Aperture for and put it on my desktop as a file that I can put into Photos, I can put into Capture One, put in a blog post, share it on Instagram, whatever I want to do. It is so cool. It is just very, very nice. And if I'm looking for an image in Aperture and I want to work on the original RAW file, then at least I can find exactly where that is because Peak 2 will tell me which Aperture catalog that particular file is in. Then I could go to my computer that still has Aperture on it, open Aperture in there, get that RAW file, export it out, or you know, do whatever I want with it. So it just gives you all these options I didn't have before. Alrighty? So let's get to how much is this going to cost us. All right, here we go. You ready? So there are three different options for purchasing Peak 2. You can go monthly with a zero-risk, seven-day free trial, and it's $9.99 a month. You can go yearly subscription, $99 for a yearly subscription, and that gives you a 15-day free trial. These are like no questions asked money back during the trial period. Or if you want to just buy it outright, it's $189 for one time per seat. And that's a 30-day money-back guarantee. I have the link to it in the show notes. So you want to use that link to get exactly to where they go. There are other things out there called Peak 2. and so forth. This link will get you exactly where you need to go. You can try it out for the monthly subscription. Give it a look, because you can cancel the subscriptions. You can cancel the subscriptions at any time, right? So, you know, that's not an issue at all. So if you're just curious, if this sounds too good to be true, and I could understand you feeling that way, then go ahead and try a subscription, use it, and then you can always, you know, upgrade, which I'm sure you're going to do. I mean, I'm keeping this. I'm keeping this. I am going to be using this from now into forever. I absolutely love it. I'm sure you can tell I'm excited, because just solves a problem for me that I've been waiting to solve for so long, and I can do it right here on the computer that I'm working at without having to have, you know, an older computer with Aperture on and all that kind of stuff. It just solves a huge problem. These guys did a great job, and for a version one, it's fantastic, and it's only going to get better. They're just going to keep working on this. It's called Peak 2, and I am thoroughly impressed with it. Uh-oh, cash-strapped storage company Drobo files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Isn't this funny that it happens the week that we're talking about, you know, tapping the information that's on our Drobo drives? Oh, boy. All right. So you can read the entire article on popphotography.com, but I'm going to talk a little bit about it right now. The data storage company Drobo is facing an uncertain future. Late last month, the brand and its parent company, StoreCentric, both simultaneously filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in California's Northern Bankruptcy Court in San Jose. It's sad news for one of the earliest names in both direct and network-attached storage, but it's not necessarily the end quite yet. One or both companies could emerge rejuvenated. Should that happen, hopefully, the brand's products will have been reworked to reflect the needs and realities of the current storage market. In the final weeks of 2018, the new company released its first and to date only new Drobo product, the Drobo 8D. Initially, things seemed to be on the right path, with early reviews proving quite positive. But then in the second half of 2018, the stock suddenly disappeared from shelves right as StoreCentric seemed to be ready to spread its wings. Over the next 6 months, availability fluctuated before the 8D suddenly disappeared altogether in March 2020. The newest storage device wasn't alone in vanishing from the company's product listings, as the 5D, the 5DT, the B1200i models were also discontinued around the same time the 8D went AWOL. Five other Drobo models remained listed on the company's website, but all were generic, having launched anywhere from 5 to 7 years earlier. By early 2020, only two of these five were still available at retail. As of today, not a single one remains available to purchase. Yet Drobo remains silent as to the reasons for its supply issues. The process both Drobo and StoreCentric have entered is for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. This indicates the intention to reorganize the companies while under control of a trustee, with the goal being to resolve debts and return company to solvency, possibly under the control of the debtors should insufficient funds be available to cover the debts. At the same time, though, there's no guarantee that Chapter 11 proceedings will reach a successful conclusion. Wow. Gosh. So just as we get some really great news about our archiving and storage and retrieval, we get this news. And I have two Drobos running here. Now, they're running fine. Way back when, I had a problem with my original Drobo, and never really got it resolved. Got these after they kind of coaxed me back, so to speak. This is when Trey Radcliffe was having problems as well. Yeah. And then I have a couple 5Ds, a 5DT and a 5D, and they've been solid. I have to say they've been running great. In fact, I have them plugged into Peak 2 right now, and Peak 2's, you know, reading those files, and they're working great. However, This looks like an end-of-life situation or a possible end-of-life situation for Drobo, which means no support, which means do I need to be thinking about something else? And the answer probably is yes. So my approach is going to be is that I'm going to get just things organized with Peak 2 here and just sort of enjoy life for the first time with access to all of my photos going back to the beginning of my digital life. And then I'll start thinking about what I'm going to migrate my Drobos to next. I'm just going to procrastinate on that just for a little bit because I'm so happy about the Peak 2 thing. I just don't want to deal with the Drobo thing right now. And hopefully they will hang in there until then. But I'm doubtful if they're going to emerge from Chapter 11 successfully. We'll see if they do. And if something good happens, I'll certainly let you know here. All right, I want to talk both about becoming a media member and telling a friend. These are two ways that you can help me and the community both. You know, I publish articles on Medium.com. It's an important part of our overall ecosystem because it exposes what we do here to new people who don't know about the digital story. And that is a very good thing. One of the things that you can do is that you can subscribe to my email list there on Medium so you're notified as soon as I publish an article. That doesn't cost anything at all. But if you decide that you want to become a member of Medium because you're reading more than five articles a month, which is, I think, what you're allowed to do for free, then I also have a link in the show notes that if you use that link, it costs you the same amount, but it's an affiliate link that gives me part of the proceeds that helps out. And if you're a Medium member month after month, I get a slice of that month after month as well. So if you do decide to become a Medium member and read about everything that's going on in the Medium.com universe, which is basically everything, then if you would, go to the link in the show notes, click on that first, and then subscribe, and that will help me out. And then at the same time, you know, tell a friend, make sure we keep telling people about this podcast and all the good things that are going on here. We want as many new faces as possible in our community. That helps keep us alive and vibrant and moving forward and all that good stuff. So don't forget to tell a friend. And like I said, if you do subscribe to Medium, please go through my link. I truly appreciate it. How to go from garden to greeting card in three easy steps. This is a post on the digital story. And if you like making greeting cards, but you didn't want to get into the whole how hard it is sort of thing, this article is for you because I'm going to give you the gist of it right now. Basically, what you do is you get some Red River greeting card stock. For the article, I used item number 1058, 1058, 60-pound Red River paper canvas. And all I was doing with this is just printing on the front of the card and then just doing handwriting or other goodies for the rest of the card. And so, you know, you've got your lovely picture on the card and then you put a personal note on the inside or you sell it blank for people. You can do this, I discovered, by just folding the card in half, just like, you know, pre-folding it. And then it runs through both of my printers when I do that. I'm using the Canon printers. So it runs through my all-in-one that way, and it ran through my Pro 100 that way. So you don't have to have these elaborate templates and all this stuff. Fold the card, get it nice and flat. You do one at a time, load it into your printer. Basically, you're choosing a 5x7 print because that's what it is folded, right? You just say print 5x7. If you want to go edge to edge, you can do that. Or if you want to float it in there, you can do that as well. Even Photos allows you to do that. So you can design the cover any way that you want. And then just, it's like you're making a 5x7 print. It works fantastic. And you have a very professional looking greeting card. So if you want to see all the steps and if you want to see the illustrations and all that stuff, just go to the article on the digital story. It's there right now. It's called How to Go from Garden because I have a flower picture on the cover, how to go from garden to greeting card in 3 easy steps. It is so simple. Just go to Red River Paper, get yourself some greeting card stock, get some envelopes, and just go to town. You'll have a blast. You'll have a blast. Okay, let's do a little virtual camera club news. A big thanks to our Patreon members, our Inner Circle members. They're the ones that support this community, this podcast, month in and month out. And they also have access to special discounts for online and physical workshops. And they have access to the group for only Inner Circle members. There's one on Patreon, and there's also one on Derek's Story Online. We have monthly photo competitions. We, you know, float ideas about how to move forward. And we just have a place to hang out with each other. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. And I thank you so much for becoming a supporter of this community. And for those of you that are Inner Circle members, thank you for your continued support. It's very important to all of us. I mentioned Red River Paper earlier, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. That's where I go to get my stuff. And I'll tell you, this little greeting card trick that I just told you about, Red River greeting card stock doesn't cost very much, but it makes dynamite looking very professional greeting cards. They have all sorts of information there on, you know, how to make greeting cards, how to do other special projects. They have a variety of stocks. They have a lot of how-to information, and they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. All you have to do is click on that tile, it goes to our landing page, and then you can nose around, get yourself some paper, get yourself some envelopes, and make some really cool stuff. They also have a Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and a huge thanks to them for supporting this podcast. Again, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Make sure you come back and join me. Until then, be creative, get organized, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.